things to share with you this morning that I hope that will impact us. There's some things that the Lord spoke to me about this morning, even as I was getting ready to come over here, that I want to share with you. So of all the things I want to share, I want to make sure that I share that part with you. You know, when you study the Word of God, you get some things that you feel that really fits with what God wants to release in our midst. But then sometimes He just speaks to your heart. He just speaks to your spirit about some specific things of what He wants to talk about this morning. And I certainly want to get to that. And I want to share with you something that Jesus said, because I'm just kind of starting a series here about Jesus, about the things that came out of His mouth, the things that Jesus said. There's some things that are kind of strange in a way, but some things are very powerful that we can connect with easily. The thing that Jesus said at one point, He told a disciple who Jesus had asked to follow Him, and he said, "Well, can I go first and bury my father? Can I go first and get this job done?" And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you come and follow me." Now, that's a kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? For Jesus to speak out and say, "Well, let the dead bury their own dead," when He said He wanted to bury His father. But we know from Scripture and we know from studying that it couldn't have been that His father had just died and He had to take a day to go to bury him. Jesus was talking about something quite a bit deeper than that. He was really speaking to him about letting go of whatever is convenient at hand and come and follow me. And that's one of the things I want to talk about this morning, is the fact that when Jesus says, "Follow me," He is speaking about something very strategically, and He is saying, "Don't let anything else get in the way except you follow me." You know, it's important for us to hear the instruction that Jesus is giving us. It can save our life at times. There are some things, there are some signs that we might see that are speaking to us at any given time. And it's important for us to make sure that the world hasn't got such a hold of us that we don't obey the signs. You know, we say sometimes hindsight is 20/20. That, you know, when we look at what happened in the past, we can always think of what should have been done or what people should have been done. We could look back to World War II, and we could look at the German nation, and we could look at the Jews in that particular nation, and we could say to some of them, say, "Why is it that you haven't left when there was lots of signs for given, even to the Hebrews at that time, the Jewish people at that time, saying that something terrible was going to happen to them?" Because it didn't happen just completely overnight, but there were signs all along the way that something was going to happen, that the Jewish people were going to be persecuted. And the Jewish people just looked about this and they're thinking, "Oh, well, it couldn't get that bad. It couldn't get that devastation to that we would have to leave." But as we know the result of it now, we can see that they should have left. At the first glimpse of a sign of leaving, they should have took off. They should have left. And because of some of the things that they were held on to, they didn't want to leave. Maybe they had beautiful homes. They had a way of life. They had friends and people that they felt would never betray them. They didn't leave. They weren't able to see the signs that were in front of them. They weren't able to let go and move forward. You see, as a body of believers, when Jesus says, "Follow me," we have to be willing to let go whatever it is that might be holding us, whatever situation we find ourselves in. We can never hope for a more convenient time to follow Jesus. We can never hope for a more convenient time to set aside whatever we're doing and follow Jesus. And what do I mean by follow Jesus, or what would that mean to you? Well, I believe when Jesus spoke to this particular disciple, when He said, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead," I believe that He was literally talking about getting that man to follow Him, that man had a ministry, and Jesus wanted him to fulfill his ministry, and he would fulfill it by following Jesus and watching the way He did things. But what does it mean for you to hear those words, "Follow me"? What's He saying to you? What's He saying to me? Well, I believe there's a number of things that we could extrapolate from that, but one of the things that He's definitely saying is that when He calls us to follow Him, He's saying, begin to set your life in a pattern after my life. Begin to set your life use me as a pattern. Use my life as a pattern for the way you live. Well, obviously, he wasn't talking about living the way he lived in that day. He wasn't talking about, you know, wearing the clothes he wore. He wasn't talking about, well, like one boy was asking his father for the car, and he asked him if he could have his car on this particular every Saturday night, and the man said, well, you can have it if you do this and this and this, and you get your hair cut. Then you can have the car at this particular night. And the boy said, okay, he said, I'll do it. Well, he did this thing and he did that thing, but he came back and he never had his hair cut. And so he went to his father and asked for the car, and he said, well, it's great that you did this and you did that and your grades come out and that, but you still have long hair. And the boy said, well, yeah, but Jesus had long hair too, and you admire him. Jesus had long hair. And the father said, yes, he did have long hair, but Jesus walked everywhere he went too. We're not being asked to live our life as a pattern after Jesus in things like that, in that particular area, but there are areas that he wants us to live after him on, such as love your neighbor as yourself, such as be kind to one another, such as do not judge, do not gossip, hate evil, all those kind of things. Jesus is asking us to set our lives as a pattern, or set him as the one that we look to in order to pattern our lives after. That's what it means to follow Jesus in this day. I'm convinced that if we will do that, then he will speak to us. He will give us some direction that will absolutely change our lives. But we must listen to him and obey. And I'm kind of convinced if we don't obey some of the things and the laws of the land that we live in today, that probably we won't obey Jesus either. A number of years ago, Debbie and I, some friends had bought us a cruise, and we went on the cruise, and we were sailing in the Caribbean, and then one of the islands we were stopped at, and we were given instruction, the whole ship was given instruction, you make sure that you get back here at 4 o'clock, because the ship's leaving at 4. And so we were back there, of course, at 4 o'clock, and sure enough, came 4 o'clock, the ship began to move away from the dock. And we were about maybe 300 yards away from the dock, and we could see these two couples running down the dock and waving and going on, and you left us, you left us. They were crying, and we could see one of the ladies, she was just beside herself. She was crying and weeping, and because what are they going to do? They left. The ship said it was going to leave, and they left. But whose fault was it? It certainly wasn't the ship's fault. The ship said, you know, the captain said, we're leaving at 4 o'clock. And it's up to you now whether you're going to pay attention to the sign that was given to you. They were left behind. That's kind of a sad thing when you really want to go someplace. And those people, how would they get off that island? How would they meet the ship? I mean, just think of the money, I'm sure, going through the head of what they would have to do. But they were left behind because they didn't move when they were told to. They didn't go into action when they were told to. They were left behind. Well, we better not leave them there. Actually, as it turned out, the master of the harbor would have to be on the cruise ship to get them out of the harbor, and then there'd be another boat come out and pick up the master, the harbor master, I should say. And so they decided to allow these two couples to go out on the boat and climb up on the rope to get into the ladder to get into the ship. And so they get rescued. But it's important to pay attention to the things that God is saying to us. Important to move when God tells us to move. We don't want to be left behind. Ecclesiastes 3:17 said, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. We can miss our time if we don't quickly move into the things that God wants us to do. Well, let me say this, when Jesus calls us, we are called to, in whatever we're doing, do it with great enthusiasm as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. The Lord is doing some things in these days that I believe he's shifting us and changing us. And that's, in fact, I believe that's something that the Lord spoke to me about. And he asked me to share a little bit this morning about who we are as a church and how we got here. It'll be 20 years ago this year, this fall, when I started ministering and pastoring our church here. There's a lot of things happened in 20 years. A lot of things took place. When I started ministering here full time, we were meeting at the Wandlin Hotel when the Wandlin was there before it became the Best Western. And we ministered there, and there was a lot of people that were excited. God was doing some things. And at that particular time, God was moving in a very special way. All around the place, many people over many places were experiencing awesome things. There was something going on in Toronto at the time, and God was showing up in different ways. And it seemed like that everything was, people were interested as long as God was in it. And I believe that's still the way today, in a lot of ways. People are interested in the things that God is doing. And he seemed to be doing a bit of a new thing, and people were coming, and we began to fellowship together and grow as a church body. And over the years, one of the things that we came to understand is this, that to follow God means more than just seeing him doing the miraculous. Now, let me say this. We have seen God do some miraculous things. How many people here know that at some time in their life, they're absolutely convinced that God has healed a part of their body? Put their hand up. Okay, so quite a number of people that were convinced. So we know that God is still amongst us, and we know that God is doing some awesome things. But we also know that to be a true disciple of Christ means more than having God do something for you in your physical body. It means more than just experiencing God in a miraculous way. Because the Bible talks about, Jesus actually said that there would be people come to him in the last day and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we heal people in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." You see, it takes more than the miraculous of God to call yourself a disciple of Christ. There's something about a heart issue that God desires to get to. There's something about loving God, knowing him, walking with him, that makes us a disciple of God. Jesus said, of course, the first and greatest commandment was, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength." That's a great commandment. And of course, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's so important. That's one of the things we've learned over the years, to make sure that we never lose the sight of loving God. Never lose this edge of loving God. Never lose this thirst within us to know more of God. So we began in 20 years ago, and we started, and God was doing some things, and we actually bought a piece of land in Charlottetown because it seemed like the right thing to do. And I believe that's one of the ways that we follow God. Sometimes there'll be some things in front of you that it just plain seems the right thing to do. So you step out and do it. You don't wait till you hear a voice from heaven saying, "Do this." You simply step out and do the right thing. And so we bought a piece of land in Charlottetown where we thought we would eventually build one day. And a few years later, an interesting thing happened. A few years later, there was a man who is part of this congregation, and he was woken up in the middle of the night. He was in a dead sleep, and he sat up, and this property that he owned was on his mind, and it just seemed to be consumed with it. And he just simply said, "God, what is it?" And he said, the Lord simply spoke to him and said, "Talk to Pastor Bill about it." So a week or so later, we got together and we talked about it. And he said, "I don't know what it means, but I don't know if I'm supposed to give you the land. I don't know but he told me to ask you." So I said, "Well, let's go and see it." So we went and seen the property. I didn't really have any kind of a witness. We came out here and so forth. Didn't really have any kind of a sense of anything hearing from God. And then, so I just simply said, I said, "Well, you did what the Lord told you to do. So that's all you're really called to do." And so I said, I'll pray about it and see if the Lord speaks to me about it. Well, he never spoke to me. I prayed about it for a while. But then about 6 weeks later, I was in a meeting in Summerside where Graham Cook was speaking. And it was a small meeting, and the Lord started speaking to me. And the Lord started speaking to me very clearly that we were to start, have this as a base of our ministry, that we were to get on this property and that this would be the base of our ministry. And there was some things that God wanted to touch the island through this ministry. And this was the place that we were to be. So all of a sudden, things totally changed now because the Lord had spoken to me. And so I went back to that individual. Well, first, I went and talked to our leadership team and talked to them about it and came out to this property. And I'll never forget the reaction. Some of you guys were here at that time, and some of us came out and had a look at the property. And I'll never forget as we turned a corner here and we went into the field and we stopped and get out of the car, I can still hear Cliff saying, "Now this is more like it." I still remember that. I don't know if you remember that, Cliff, but I can still remember Cliff saying, "Now this is more like it," because it was a land, it was 75 acres of land, and that we felt that the Lord wanted us to come here. So we began to pray into that. I began to talk to the individual that owned the property and so forth. And he said, "What do we got to do to get the land into your hands?" And so we had this lot in Charlottetown. So we basically switched lots and we paid him some more money for the property. And we ended up with 75 acres of land. So what do you do with 75 acres of land? So you obviously began doing something with it. You began, and you know, we wanted to build a building on it. Now, something the Lord had put in my heart for a very long time is that this ministry was never to go in debt. We were to believe God for finances that was needed to do anything we did. So in 2001, I believe it was, that the Lord, I just sensed the Lord say, start building the church. Do something. Start building. Take the amount of money that you have and begin to build it. I think at that time we might have had $150,000, I think. And I said, "Well, we can put the foundation in for that. We can do something. We can start." And so we began. And it seemed like as we continued on doing that, the Lord continued to bless, and more finances came in, and we began to see the building rise and so forth. Some complications, but we seen it come, begin to rise. And in 2002, of August 2002, we had got to the place where the walls were up and there was pink insulation everywhere, and there was a vapor barrier. And we weren't in the building yet, but that's where we had, and it seemed like we kind of stalled there. And a prophet by the name of Bill Hammond came to our church, and he came and he began to preach. He began to teach. He knew nothing about our church, but he began to speak out of Haggai. He began to speak out of Haggai, and Haggai says that, you know, how can you be comfortable living in your panel houses when the house of the Lord is in ruins? And he began to share about that. And all of a sudden, one point, he looked down at me and he says, "Are you guys involved in some kind of a building program or something?" And I said, "Yes, in fact, we are." He had no idea where we were because we were meeting in the Charlottetown in the lecture theater at that particular time. And he spoke the word of the Lord, declaring, he said, "Now, I believe that the Lord wants you in that building by Thanksgiving. I believe he wants you in there by Thanksgiving. By Thanksgiving weekend." Well, he's American, and I knew he didn't know when Canadian Thanksgiving was. So I thought, well, that gives us a little breather. But that prophetic word stirred us as a people, as a congregation. And we began to put up the gyprock. Night after night, men would come here and women would come here. We'd put up the gyprock and paint the place and all the rest of it. And by American Thanksgiving that year, we were in the building. We held our first service. And I believe it was a direct release of the word of the Lord that stirred the people to come and begin in this place. And then later on, of course, we began to enjoy the building and God began to speak to us. And we had to build a ministry center for our children because we didn't have any room really for our children. And then we needed a fellowship hall. We built that. And to see God's hand on it, all through it, was amazing because we never did go to the bank. Everything that we did, we seen God move and supply the finances for every single thing that we did. And I believe that God says, initially, I believe God was saying to me, somebody has to show that you can do things. You don't have to lean to the world in order to get things of the kingdom done. That there can some things can be done by kingdom principles rather than the world system. And one of the kingdom principles that we used all along the way, that we continued to plant financial seed, and that seed would go into good soil and produce a harvest so that we could continue to do the work of the Lord. For you see, Deuteronomy 8:18 says that is the Lord thy God that gives you the ability to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. That's the purpose of the wealth that God brings into our hands so that we might establish his covenant or his kingdom upon the earth. And we endeavored to do that. And I believe the Lord this morning spoke to me that there's a shift coming and that even from this day, there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a shift in the things that we do and how we do it in this day. And I believe that we're going to set some people in ministry this morning. We're going to pray over some people this morning. We're going to set them in a place of ministry. Many have been with us for many years. We were in the prayer room this morning, and I was looking around, and some were here with us longer than others, but I so appreciate the people that God has brought. Because I can remember when I would have to get to church real early, when we were renting someplace else, and I would have to set up all the sound equipment, I'd have to make sure the chairs were all up, that we were renting the place and so forth, and have to do everything. And man, that was a lot of work. And as people began to come and began to take an interest in the things of God, they began to set things in place, and the weight of the ministry began to spread out, and we were able to do a lot more. And I believe God is setting us in place, enabling us to do a lot more in the days ahead. Well, as I say, we've moved pretty quickly to share a lot of things. There was a lot happening this morning, and our time is pretty well shot. All right, and there's one thing that I want to say. The things that we do, we want to make sure that we do them unto the Lord. Rick Joyner, who's a well-known prophetic individual, especially in the United States, he said at one point that he used to be a carpenter. When he started out, a very young man in his early 20s, or in his 20s anyway, he decided, well, he got so excited about Jesus that he thought, well, what should I do in life? And he thought, well, Jesus was a carpenter, so that's what I'll do. And so he went into carpentry and started building homes. And he said he hated it. He just hated it. He said it was a lot of hard work. And he hated it. And he said he tried to, put up, and there was about four or six young men with them, and they sounded like they were all Christians, and they were talking and so forth, and he had mentioned the fact that he hated it, and he decided, they began to pray, and they decided that everything they would do, they would do it as if they were doing it unto the Lord. They would, as if the Lord was going to live in those houses, as if Jesus was going to live in those houses. And so they began to do that, and after a while, Rick said it was just amazing. He said, I'd be there at 5 o'clock when it's time to quit, and I'd want to finish what I was doing. I would go to bed at night, and I would dream about building houses and couldn't wait to get to work the next day, because he had given himself totally over into it as unto the Lord. And that makes a difference when we do that. When we do set up to do something, when we do it as unto the Lord, God imparts blessing and grace for to help us in that, because we're doing it as if the Lord is, if we're building a house, we're doing it as if Jesus is going to live in it. And if you were building a house for Jesus, wouldn't you want it to be perfect? Wouldn't you want it to be just something that he would so enjoy and love? You'd just give it your best shot, wouldn't you? Well, that's what we are to do, no matter what we're doing. If we find ourselves in the place of being a husband, be the best husband that you could possibly be. Do it as unto the Lord. If you're being a wife, then the same thing. Whatever you're doing, do it as unto the Lord.